إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. ثم أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. ثم أما بعد، after praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeking His aid, seeking His refuge, and seeking refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evils of our own souls and from the evil consequences of our actions, and knowing that whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides because of His mercy, then none can misguide. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses to misguide because of His justice and because of a corruption in that person's heart, then no one can guide. We bear witness and we testify that there is none worthy of being worshipped except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and prophet. Ikhwani al-Izza, akhawati al-afifat, know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us for a purpose. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us for a high and lofty purpose, and this purpose is to worship Him alone. This is ibadah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created the jinn and the ins إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, except to worship Me. And this ibadah, if we adhere to this worship and we comply with the instructions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set and has mentioned in the Quran and in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will establish authority for us on this land. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us power and will give us authority. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ وَلَيُمَكِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ دِينَهُمُ الَّذِي ارْتَضَى لَهُمْ وَلَيُبَدِّلَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ خَوْفِهِمْ أَمْنًا يَعْبُدُونَنِي لَا يُشْرِكُونَ بِي شَيْئًا. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ, Allah promises to those who have iman, those who have faith and who do righteous actions. He promises them, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them power and authority in the earth, on the earth. وَلَيُمَكِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ دِينَهُمُ الَّذِي ارْتَضَى لَهُمْ, and Allah will establish for them on this land, He will establish for them their religion, the religion that He chose for them. وَلَيُبَدِّلَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ خَوْفِهِمْ أَمْنًا, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will substitute for them, will substitute their fear. He will substitute that fear for security and safety. What do they have to do to earn this sharaf, to earn this nobility? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَعْبُدُونَنِي لَا يُشْرِكُونَ بِي شَيْئًا. يَعْبُدُونَنِي, that they worship Me without associating any partners with Me. So how, as Muslims, do we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? As a Muslim who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given intellect to, now that you know that our purpose on this life, the reason we were put on this earth, the reason why you breathe, The reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this existence is not to make money, is not to have children, it is to place your head, your forehead on the ground and to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But can you worship Allah with ignorance? The only way we can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is through knowledge, through ilm. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has elevated the status of the scholars. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has elevated knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ إِنَّمَا يَتَذَكَّرُ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. قُلْ say, هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ. Are those who know, are they equal to those who do not know? Are those who have knowledge, are they equal to those who are ignorant? The answer is no. And this is why Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he used to say, it is sufficient nobility for knowledge that even those who have no knowledge associate themselves to knowledge. Even the one who is ignorant wants to be called a scholar, wants to be called knowledgeable. No one wants to be called ignorant. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ. Allah raises in rank and He elevates those of you who have believed, those of you who have come with Tawheed, with Iman, and those of you who were given knowledge. He raises them in rank by darajat, by grades. So Allah elevates the people of knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in another verse, وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. And say, O Muhammad, رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. My Lord, زِدْنِي عِلْمًا, increase me in knowledge. Al-Imam Al-Qurtubi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that if there was something more noble, if there was something more virtuous, if there was something better than knowledge, then Allah would have asked His Messenger, or would have commanded His Messenger to seek an increase in that thing. But because there is nothing better than knowledge. It is the best thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give to a human being. There is nothing better than knowledge, because without knowledge, you cannot worship Allah with basira, with wisdom and with hindsight. The only way we can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the only way we can truly comply with the verse, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, is through knowledge. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, speaking about knowledge, in the hadith of Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Abu Dharr was sitting in the masjid of Damascus, in Dimashq. He was sitting in Dimashq, and a man came to him. This was narrated by Kathir ibn Qais, one of his students. A man came to him and he said, "Oh Abu Dharr, I have come to you from Medina. I have come to you, ataytuka min madinati Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I have come to you from the city of the Prophet. And because I heard that you know a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is a specific hadith that I want to ask you about." Abu Dharr looked at him and he said to him, "Ma jita li tijara? Did you not come for business? You did not come for any to conduct a certain business?" He said, "La, ma jita li ghayri hada? You did not come all the way from Medina except to ask me of this hadith?" And the man said, "No, this is the only reason why I came to you. I traveled all the way from Damascus for one hadith." And then Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said to him, "Sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqul, man salaka tariqan yaltamisu fihi ilman, sahala Allahu lahu tariqan ila al-jannah." I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, whoever treads a path whereby this person is seeking knowledge, then Allah will make the path of paradise easy for that person. Ikhwani, know that the path of paradise is difficult. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Man khafa adlaj, wa man adlaja balagha al-manzil, ala inna sil'ata Allahi ghaliya, ala inna sil'ata Allahi ghaliya, ala inna sil'ata Allahi al-jannah." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, whoever is fearful of an enemy, imagine there was an enemy chasing you. Whoever is fearful of an enemy will travel through the night, will not rest and say it is night time now, let me rest. No, this person will continue to travel. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, "Ala inna sil'ata Allah ghaliya." Indeed, the sil'a of Allah, the commodity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is selling to us, meaning the commodity, that thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to work hard for, is very expensive. And then the Prophet repeated that again, and then he said, "Ala inna sil'ata Allah al-jannah." Indeed, this is Jannah. So the fact that if you seek knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the path of paradise easy for that person. How does this happen? Because once you have knowledge, once you have equipped yourself with ilm, al-ilm al-nafi' ma'al amal al-salih, know that once this happens, you will know how to get to Jannah. But if you have no knowledge, you are like a blind man. You are someone who is a'ma, you do not know how to get to Jannah. You are stumbling across the thinking that you are on the right path, but you may not be on the right path. You may not be praying correctly. When you are dealing in business transactions, you may be devouring riba without even you realizing it. When you are making wudu, you might be making mistakes. Are you making the wudu of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? When you are praying, are you praying the same way that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed? When you go and make hajj, how many times have we seen some hajjaj saying, "Oh ya Shaykh," and speaking to the scholars in Medina and saying, "Oh ya Shaykh, I have not stood on Arafah, or I have done this, or I have, is my hajj correct?" When you are making umrah, how do you know your umrah is correct? How do you raise your children according to the Sharia al-Islamiyah? If you yourself are ignorant, then how can you elevate your status? How can you elevate yourself in the sight of Allah? How can you remove ignorance from other people if you yourself are ignorant? Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued and he said, "Man salaka tariqan yaltamisu fihi ilman, sahala Allahu lahu tariqan ila al-jannah, wa innal malaika la tad'u ajnihataha li talib al-'ilm ridan bima yasna." And the angels, they lower their wings for the student of knowledge. Ridan bima yasna, being pleased at what that student of knowledge is doing. Subhanallah, the angels do not lower their wings for anyone. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that the angels lower their wings for the student of knowledge only, because they are pleased at what that student of knowledge is doing. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, وَإِنَّ طَالِبَ الْعِلْمِ And وفي رواية وإن العالم لا يستغفر له من في الأرض ومن في السماء حتى الكتام في الماء. And the student of knowledge and the scholars, everything on this earth and everything in the heavens, even the fish in the depth of the seas, seek forgiveness for the student of knowledge. So a student of knowledge sins, he is a human being. But if you are a student of knowledge, you will have this added virtue, which is that the angels, everything on this earth and on the heavens, seek forgiveness for you. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, وَإِنَّ فَضْلَ الْعَالِمِ عَلَى الْعَابِدِ كَفَضْلِ الْقَمَرِ عَلَى سَائِرِ الْكَوَاكِبِ. And the virtue, the excellence of the alim, the student of the scholar, the excellence of the scholar over the abid, the one who only worships Allah without having any knowledge, is like this, the excellence of the full moon when compared to the stars. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so this hadith here illustrates to us the elevated status of a student of knowledge. And in another hadith by Abu Hurairah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, "Man salaka tariqan yaltamisu fihi ilma sahala Allah lahu tariqan ila al-jannah." And he says, "Wama ijtama'a qawmun في بيت من بيوت الله يتلون كتاب الله ويتدارسونه بينهم إلا غشيتهم الرحمة وحفتهم الملائكة وذكرهم الله في من عنده." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says that no people gather and come together in one of the houses of Allah, in one of the homes of Allah, يتلون كتاب الله, reciting the book of Allah, ويتدارسونه بينهم, and studying the book of Allah between them, seeking knowledge, except if this happens, حفتهم نزلت عليهم السكينة, except that if this happens, السكينة, tranquility descends upon them, وغشيتهم الرحمة, and rahma and mercy encompasses them, وحفتهم الملائكة, and the angels cover them and envelop them. وذكرهم الله في من عنده, and Allah remembers them with those remembers them in the presence of the angels. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, من يذكر مثل الذي يذكر الله والذي لا يذكر الله كمثل الحي والميت. The example of the one who remembers Allah, because who remembers Allah? The student of knowledge. When you are reciting the Quran, are you not remembering Allah? When you are reciting the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are you not saying sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Are you not saying when you come across a sahabi radiallahu anhu? Are you not in dhikr? You are in dhikr. But if you are not seeking knowledge, then when do you remember Allah? You remember, yes, you do remember Allah, but only occasionally. But when a person is engrossed in knowledge, when the mahabbatul ilm, إذا دخل mahabbatul ilm في قلبك, فعلم أنك على خير. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, من يريد الله به خيرا يفقهه في الدين. Whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes khair and goodness for, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives fiqh for that person, or gives that person understanding of the religion. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب ألا تستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين, الرحمن الرحيم, مالك يوم الدين. الحمد لله الذي خلق السماوات والأرض وجعل الظلمات والنور ثم الذين كفروا بربهم يعدلون. الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه, وأصلي وأسلم على خير البشر نبينا محمد عليه أفضل الصلاة والتسليم. أما بعد, know يا إخوان that nowadays unfortunately there are individuals or people who are classed and given certain titles like they are stars. People, the word star is a word that has been abused. People see, unfortunately, actors as stars, actresses as stars, footballers as stars, people who come on TV as stars, and they use this word loosely. So what is a star? What does Islam say about the star? And how did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam describe stars, and what example did he give? In a hadith collected by Imam Muslim, narrated by Abu Burda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that once we prayed Maghrib with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and after we prayed Maghrib, we said to ourselves, يعني the companion, we said to ourselves, let us wait in the masjid and let us wait until Salatul Isha. Let us stay in the masjid and pray Salatul Isha, and then once we pray Salatul Isha, we go home. So this is the sunnah of the companions. Staying in the masjid after Maghrib, between Maghrib and Isha, is actually the sunnah of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the first faid in the hadith. And then he says, while we were sitting in the masjid after praying Maghrib, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he came out and he saw us in the masjid, and he said, ما زلتم ها هنا? Are you still here? He said this, يعني being happy at what he sees. And they said, oh Messenger of Allah, we prayed Maghrib with you, and we said to ourselves, let us wait until Salatul Isha. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam rewarded them with this hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam nadhara ila as-sama, he looked at the heavens. Wa kana kathiran ma yanzur ila as-sama, and the Prophet was always looking at them, يعني he often looked at the heavens and the skies. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he looked at them and he said to them, an-nujumu amanatun lis-sama, فإذا ذهبت النجوم أتى السماء ما توعد. النجوم, the stars, are guardians and protectors over the heavens. فإذا ذهبت النجوم, so when the day comes that the stars are gone, when Allah scatters the stars, أتى السماء ما توعد, that which was promised to the heavens from the day, from calamities and from the fact that the day of resurrection will come, those things will occur. And then the Prophet says, وَأَنَا أَمَنَةٌ لِأَصْحَابِي, and I am a guardian over my companions. I am a protector over my companions. فَإِذَا ذَهَبْتُ, and so when I am gone, when I pass away, أَتَى أَصْحَابِي مَا يُعَدُونَ, that which was promised to my companions from afflictions and fitan and trials and tribulations will happen and will occur. وأصحابي and my companions أمانة لأمتي are guardians and protectors over the rest of my ummah. فإذا ذهب أصحابي and when my companions are gone, when they are no more, أتى أمتي ما يعدون those afflictions and calamities that my companions prevented because of their very existence, when they are gone, then those things will occur. This hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, here the Prophet resembles himself and likens himself to a star. He resembles and likens his companions to a star. So what exactly is the function of a star? ما هي وظيفة النجوم? What is the function of a star? قتادة بن الدعامة السدوسي رضي الله تعالى رحمه الله تعالى the famous تابع المفسر, he says خلق الله هذه النجوم لثلاث زينة للسماء ورجوما للشياطين وعلامات يهتدى بها فمن تأول غير ذلك فقد أخطأ وأضاع نصيبه. He says, Qatada says, that Allah created these stars for three purposes and for three reasons. Zinatan lissama, as a beautification for the heavens. Warujuman lishayateen, and as missiles that target the shayateen. And wa'alamatin yutada biha, and as guides that guide the travelers to their destination. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَلَقَدْ زَيَّنَّا السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا بِمَصَابِيحِ وَجَعَلْنَاهَا رُجُومًا لِلشَّيَاطِينِ. And in another verse he says, وَعَلَامَاتُ وَبِالنَّجْمِ هُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ. Allah says, وَلَقَدْ زَيَّنَّا السَّمَاءَ, and verily we have beautified the heavens and the skies, بِمَصَابِيحِ, with stars, with lamps, meaning stars. And وَلَقَدْ زَيَّنَّا السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا بِمَصَابِيحِ وَجَعَلْنَاهَا رُجُومًا لِلشَّيَاطِينِ, and we have made these stars as rujum, as missiles that target the shayateen who try to eavesdrop on this, on the kalam, on the statements of the angels. And then another verse Allah says, wa alamat, and signs, wa bin najmi, and through the stars, yahtaduna, are they guided, wa bin najmi hum yahtaduna, through the stars are they guided. So if we take now these reasons and examples and we implement this on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah, wasn't the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam a beautification in the sittings of his companions? When the Prophet was with his companions, then that sitting was beautified, just like a star beautifies the heavens. Wasn't the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam a missile that targets and refutes evil, targets and refutes bid'ah, innovations and shirk? Of course, the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the scholars, we use the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to refute innovations and bid'ah. Also, wasn't the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam a guide, guiding the companions to the haq, to the truth, guiding this ummah to the haq and to the truth? إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَثُ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was making hijrah from Mecca to Medina, and he was with Abu Bakr, and Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he met some of his some of his acquaintances in the days of Jahiliyyah, and they asked him, because they did not recognize the Prophet, they did not know who he was, they said to him, man hadha alladhi ma'ak, who is this person who's with you? And he said, huwa hadhi, because he did not want to give him, he did not want to tell them this is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this is Muhammad ibn Abdullah, because the whole of Quraysh are chasing them. So he said, in order not to lie, he said, هُوَ هَادِي يَهْدِينِ الطَّرِيقِ. He is my guide, who is guiding me to the way. They thought he meant a tracker, someone who guides a person to a particular city. But Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he meant something far more important than this. He said, he is my guide, who is guiding me to Jannah and to the path. So likewise, the companions radiallahu ta'ala alayhim, when they were with the tabi'un, They were a zina, a beautification in the cities of the tabi'un. They were missiles that targeted the innovation, the people of innovation. When Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when a man asked about a particular verse in the Quran, and Umar sensed from this man that there was some evil with, he sensed from him that he was sarcastic, and it's as though he was belittling the verse. What did Umar do? He beat him on the head with a stick, and then he said to him, "That is that question still in your head?" And the man said, "No, it's gone now. I understand totally now." When the companions were with the Tabi'un, there was no innovation, no bid'ah. The Muslims were upon one deen, upon one manhaj, upon one aqidah, upon one aqidah. But when the companions were gone, then the bid'ah and the innovation started to happen and started to, unfortunately, appear in the ummah, such as the innovation of the Khawarij, the innovation of the Mu'tazila, the Jahmiya, the Qadariya. So the companions, their presence alone was sufficient for these innovations not to appear. So who took this mantle on? Obviously, we do not have any companions of the Prophet ﷺ amongst us. But who are those people who took this responsibility? They are the scholars and the ulama. They are the ulama, those people who have knowledge, those people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given knowledge. They are the people that we turn to when we do not know a particular mas'ala. They are the people who we ask when we are ignorant of a particular ruling. When one of us wishes to marry and doesn't know how to go about marrying, what do they do? What does that person do? He goes and asks the people of the scholars. When one of us does not know how to pray properly, or he doesn't know, for example, how to wipe over the socks. He doesn't know that, example, the person who was traveling. Imagine you leave Milton Keynes today and you're wearing your socks. How many days should you wipe over your socks? Do you start wiping over your socks the moment you leave Milton Keynes, the moment you leave your home, or do you wait until you've left the city? And what does it mean to leave the city? What if someone, for example, wants to get a credit card from the bank and doesn't know the ruling, doesn't know that this thing is haram, it is impermissible, overdrafts. Yani there are so many things. This is why the scholars, rahimahumullah ta'ala, they said that the scholar, the alim, is like a person who has sight. And the ignorant person is the person like a person who is blind. So the alim, the scholar, takes this blind man by the hand and he tells him to tread carefully in a land filled with dangers and obstacles and thorns. So this is why this dunya that we are living in, there is a lot of fitan. There are a lot of tribulation. There are so many fitan out there. Al-fitan tuhitu bina min kulli makan. The only way that we can save ourselves from this fitan is through ilm. And what type of ilm are we talking about? Al-Imam al-Dhahib rahimahullah ta'ala answers your question. He says, al-ilmu qala Allah, qala rasuluhu, qala as-sahabatu, hum ulul irfani. ما العلم نصبك للخلاف سفاهة بين الرسول وبين رأي فقيه. العلم knowledge is Allah said, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, and the companions said. That is it. This is knowledge. Very simple. Alhamdulillah. This is why the famous poet, when he was describing knowledge, and he was advising one of his companions, he said, أبا بكر دعوتك لو أجبت إلى ما فيه حظك لو عقلت إلى علم تكون به إماما مطاعا إن نهيت وإن أمرت. He said, oh Abu Bakr, I call you to a knowledge. تكون به إماما. If you take this knowledge, you will become an imam. تكون به إماما مطاعا إن نهيت وإن أمرت. And you will be someone who is مطاع, someone who the people will obey. If you order and you command, and you prohibit, the people will trust you with your statements. And then he says, describing knowledge, he says, وَيَجْلُو مَا بِعَيْنِكَ مِنْ غَشَاهَا وَيَكْسُوكَ الْجَمَالَ إِلَى الْقَرَبْتَ. He says that this knowledge will take away the غشاء, the cover that's between your eyes, that's in front of your eyes. وَيَكْسُوكَ الْجَمَالَ. And this knowledge will make you wear beauty, will make you beautiful. إِذَا اقْتَرَبْتَ, if you become a stranger. And then he says, وَكَنْزٌ لَا تَخَافُ عَلَيْهِ لِصًّا خَفِيفُ الْحَمْلِ يُوجَدُ حَيْثُ كُنْتَ. He says that this knowledge is a kanz, is a treasure. خَفِيفُ الْحَمْلِ, it is easy to carry. It doesn't take much weight. Knowledge is what's in your heart, إخوان. الْعِلْمُ يُحْفَظ. He says, وَكَنْزٌ لَا تَخَافُ عَلَيْهِ لِصًّا. It is a treasure that you are not afraid. لا تخاف عليه لصا. You are not afraid that this treasure, a thief will come and take his treasure. يوجد حيث كنت. And it is found, and this knowledge is, يعني wherever you are, this knowledge will be with you. So إخواني في الله, this is a نصيحة, هذه نصيحة لنفسي, this is a نصيحة for myself first and foremost. And this is a nasiha to my brothers and sisters that we need to strive and learn knowledge because it is an obligation. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم." Seeking knowledge is an obligation upon every Muslim, and it doesn't take much. Read the Quran. Know what Surah Al-Fatiha means. Start with the basic masail. Know the meaning of Surah Al-Fatiha. Know the meaning of Surah Qul Huwallahu Ahad, Surah Al-Ikhlas. Know the Tawheed. What is Tawheed? How do we worship Allah? How do you pray? When Imam Malik radiallahu ta'ala was asked about knowledge, what is obligatory knowledge, he said that you should know everything that entails you worshipping Allah from the moment that you wake up to the moment that you go to sleep. This is what you have to do. If you, alhamdulillah, know this, then you are upon khair. رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ